Markets react to the latest on the fiscal cliff. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update for December 24th. What's next for Washington in 2013? An interesting twist in the murky politics of Italy. Egypt gets downgraded, and the enduring mystery of the $1,000 bill in a Salvation Army kettle.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
Politicians are home for Christmas, but still going back and forth about the fiscal cliff. To check in on how all this uncertainty is playing out in the markets, we've got Gus Fauché, senior economist at the PNC Financial Services Group. Good morning, Gus.
Good morning.
So, Gus, the politicians are home for Christmas, but they are still going back and forth about the fiscal cliff. How is all this uncertainty playing out in the markets right now?
Well, the markets don't like it. We saw stock prices fall by more than 4%, by more than 1% on Friday after Republicans were unable to pass their Plan B, and they'd like to have some certainty over what tax rates are going to look like and what spending's going to look like in 2013.
And now Christmas, this marks the end of the crucial holiday shopping season where retailers make a huge chunk of their annual revenue. How did it go this year?
It's been okay. It hasn't been a great season, but it's been a decent season. We've seen overall sales up by about 3.5% over 2011. If you take into account inflation, that means that sales were up by about 2%. I think what we'll see is that sales will hit a record measured in nominal dollars, but after adjusting for inflation, sales are likely to be below those in 2007 before the Great Recession started.
And now a lot of those numbers come from the highly populated Northeast. How much of an impact did Hurricane Sandy have on those numbers in terms of people in that area not doing as much shopping, not having the time, the funds, that kind of thing?
I think the hit from Sandy was temporary. We saw sales decline at the end of October after Sandy hit, but consumers made up for it in November. We saw a big increase in retail sales in November. Chain store sales have been up. So it looks like any hit from Sandy was only temporary, but that people just made up for it in November.
Okay, Gus Fauché, senior economist at the PNC Financial Services Group, thank you.
Thank you.
Fiscal cliff talks will dominate the political conversation in the days ahead, but we want to look at everything Washington will be talking about in 2013. All week, we're looking ahead at next year with our reporters. This morning, Marketplace Washington reporter David Gura joins us. Good morning, David.
Morning, Mark.
What we pay in taxes has been a key part of the fiscal cliff talks. So what kind of tax changes are we looking at in 2013?
I mean, the fiscal cliff has sort of set the table for more conversations about this, I think, Mark, about taxes and tax reform and about spending cuts, too. There have already been some hearings on the Hill about tax reform, as a matter of fact, part of the fiscal cliff negotiations. And that conversation about sort of changing what companies pay, changing what we pay, and changing how capital gains are taxed, I think is going to continue in the new year.
So let's move from the tax money the government takes in to what the government is spending. So there are big budget cuts coming in all kinds of areas. Where do you think we're going to see the most impact?
Obviously, this was one part of that sort of fiscal cliff wheeling and dealing. This is something that Republicans certainly care an awful lot about, many Democrats as well. But before the fiscal cliff, I think it was even the so-called fiscal cliff, before Ben Bernanke even named it the fiscal cliff, the White House was talking about scaling back some budgets, departmental budgets, including, I should say, the Pentagon budget. So this is something that people here have been talking about, agencies have been preparing for, and lawmakers have been thinking about, and I think are going to keep thinking about in 2013.
Now, there's a lot of Republican anxiety about the party's struggles to get support from Latino voters in the last election. So you have some in the GOP talking about making a major deal on immigration. What are the chances of something like that happening next year?
Yeah, this is something that Barack Obama has talked about for a really long time. I mean, in 2008, when he was running for president, he said it was something that he wanted to take up in his first term. Obviously, that didn't happen. And as you mentioned, in 2012, the role of the Latino vote was so important in him winning re-election. I think it's something that he's quite serious about taking up, you know, as soon as he can. And we're seeing movement on the Hill, some interest on the Hill in taking up this issue as well. So it's looking at enforcement of immigration laws. It's probably going to be looking at, you know, maybe that executive order that he put in place last year, which paved the way for some immigrants who came here illegally to stay here for a couple of years. So I think those are things that both Congress and the administration want to take up in 2013.
And for several years, all since the downturn, there's been talk about financial reform, new rules, new regulations. What are we possibly going to see on that going forward?
Yeah, we're going to get new leadership at the SEC. Mary Shapiro, who headed that organization, just stepped down. She was sort of instrumental in writing a lot of these rules that were part of Dodd-Frank. This is kind of an ongoing process. There are still a lot of these rules to be written and to be approved. So that fight over what financial reform looks like is certainly going to continue into the new year.
Okay, Marketplace Washington reporter David Gura, who will be busy next year. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. The Dow is down more than 0.3% at 13,145. The New York Stock Exchange will close early and stay closed Christmas Day. Trading was light and mixed in Europe and Asia. Elsewhere, Standard & Poor's cut Egypt's credit rating and says it might do it again if the political situation there worsens. The Egyptian credit downgrade comes as President Mohamed Morsi's party claims to have won a vote on controversial changes to the Constitution. The BBC's Bethany Bell joins us from Cairo with more. Hello, Bethany.
Hello.
So Morsi's government faces tough choices ahead to get the budget deficit under control. Just give us a sense of the general economic situation there.
Egypt's trying at the moment to get a big IMF loan, a $4.8 billion loan. It needs to introduce tax reforms, which are going to be painful. And it's also, at the moment, a lot of people here in Egypt are saying, with the split in the political landscape, the split between President Morsi and his Islamist supporters and then the opposition, it could be quite challenging for them to try and get these painful reforms and some of these tax rises through because they may have squandered some of that understanding that would help implement these difficult economic reforms.
And give a sense as to what ordinary Egyptians could face. What kind of tax hikes or budget cuts are we talking about?
Well, just before this controversial referendum on a new draft constitution, President Morsi introduced a number of different increases on the sales tax, on alcoholic beverages, on cigarettes. Then he withdrew them within hours because there were criticisms from the opposition and from the media. Now, that delayed the approval of the IMF loan. There also have been delays in reforms of energy subsidies, for example, questions about plans to make shops and restaurants, for example, have cost-saving plans, a curfew on them so that you can have less gas shortages. So a whole range of different things that could be hitting Egyptians if they can agree to these economic reforms.
Okay, the BBC's Bethany Bell in Cairo. Thanks.
Thank you.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The outgoing Prime Minister of Italy, Mario Monti, says he's ready to lead the country again. Monti resigned on Friday, triggering an election in the new year, but he says he'll consider a second term if a political party will back his economic agenda. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The unelected Mr. Monti was installed as Prime Minister a year ago. A respected professor of economics, he was drafted in to pull Italy back from the brink of financial collapse. He succeeded. The country was stabilised. The government's borrowing costs fell sharply. But in the process, Montes made himself very unpopular with the public. His austerity measures and reforms helped plunge Italy into recession. Unemployment has soared. His support has slumped to 15%. Now, with an election looming, Stephen Lewis of Monument Securities says markets are getting nervous.
International investors have put a great deal of confidence in Mr. Monti's policies, and they hope that those policies will be carried through to their conclusion. But if he goes, then there's no assurance that that will happen.
Lewis believes Monti is on the way out. His offer to lead any reforming government after the election is likely to be rebuffed. Lewis says the Italians just don't want any more austerity. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Cleanup from Hurricane Sandy is far from over. 2012 turned out to be a remarkable year for extreme weather damage. In America, there were 11 disasters where damage cost $1 billion or more. That makes this the second worst year ever. Scott Tong has more from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
Hurricane Sandy and the drought make 2012 the second costliest ever, estimates the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. Each event may end up costing $50 billion or more in losses. 2005 was the worst, the year of Katrina. Now, costly events are not necessarily the most ferocious. Bob Hartwig is with the Insurance Information Institute.
More and more people and more businesses are located in harm's way. So there's simply more that can be damaged and destroyed by hurricanes and other tropical events.
Insurance firms are on the hook for some of the damages. But in many exposed areas, like the Florida coast, companies are ditching the market. Mindy Luber runs the nonprofit Ceres, which works with investors and businesses on climate issues.
What does it mean when the insurance company won't provide insurance? It means the federal government and you and me as taxpayers, we become an insurance company.
10 of the 12 costliest hurricanes have hit in the last decade. So somebody's wallets are getting walloped. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, the mystery of a $1,000 bill dropped in a West Virginia Salvation Army kettle. An unknown donor wrapped the rare bill in an ordinary dollar and slipped it into a kettle outside a grocery store. The same thing has happened around Christmas for more than 30 years. The charity has no idea who does it, but is happy to receive the gift. $1,000 bills have been out of circulation for decades. The one in the kettle was from 1928. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.